Welcome to the show, Hewan Hook.
Good morning, Simon. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, Hewan.
Now, Hewan, you these days are a man we know for The Real Review, right?
So, well, yeah, I'm the principal reviewer and critic, and yeah, that's what they call me.
That's what they call me. But you don't need any further introduction, really, because your name is synonymous with wine, as James Halliday, and you know lots of luminaries. We always respect very much The Real Review.
Absolutely.
And you know, we've had some of your other writers and things on in the past, and I love your mantra, I guess, of reviewing everything and telling it as it is and not necessarily leaving things out when they score, you know, lower than 90 points even. You know, it's sort of, if that's what it is, that's what it is, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, the occasional wine comes along that dips below, the acceptable level, I suppose, but it gets reviewed, and occasionally you find that it's not actually a bad wine, it was actually a bad bottle of that wine. We're seeing less and less of that now that most wines are screw caps, but it's amazing you still get some variation under screw caps.
So in that case, would you reach out and say, would you mind to send us another just so we can have a look and just confirm or change our mark?
I do that frequently, yeah.
But also what I do like is you don't actually just judge based on one vintage anyway. You actually take a couple of vintages. Are they consecutive vintages just to show the consistency? So as you say, if there was a bad vintage and it wasn't a bad bottle, it's just not such a great vintage, and the next year was, that's actually taken into consideration.
Yes, well, what we're talking about is the top wineries list, I guess, which has just been published for this year. And we do take a snapshot of that it includes more than 1 year's tasting, so that if people don't produce wine for 1 year, for whatever reason, they're not completely out of it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's fair.
So it's been a very big week, of course, with the announcement only, I think, about, well, not even 48 hours ago. Can you give us some of the top findings that from this year?
Yeah, well, the top winery this year is Yarra Yering, which wouldn't be a great surprise to people. It's been one of the great wineries in Australia for many years now.
Yeah.
And I think in the last 14 years, I think it is, since Sarah Crowe has been running the place, it's been even better. Actually, it's only about 10 years, I think, she's been there. But, it just goes from strength to strength, and they're number one. And I guess Henschke's two, Penfolds, I think, is three. So the top placings are not really great surprise to most of us, but it's the ones that you didn't predict, which I think probably attract the most interest and raise the most eyebrows. And I suppose this year we've got people like the Pfeiffer family from Rutherglen, who have been stalwarts of the Rutherglen region for many, many years, since Chris Pfeiffer and his family started that business. They've been making great table wines, but suddenly they're producing the top-end fortifieds as well. Now, you know, if you're starting off in Rutherglen and you want to make great fortifieds and you don't have a great history of keeping old wine in the cellar, how do you go about it? It's taken them a number of years to get up to the grand and the rare categories of Topaic and Muscat and so on. And they're there now. They're amongst one of the great wineries of Rutherglen for those sorts of wines. The tab wines have always been good, but it's their high-end fortifiers that have pushed them into the top 52 this year. Mm.
Yeah, it's a great brand, isn't it? And the Rutherglen is just stunning with those. I mean, they're world-class, the fortifiers up that way.
They are. They're not just world-class, to my mind. I think they're unique. I don't think there's any other country in the world that makes that style of very luscious, rich fortifieds, particularly Muscats and Topaques, because they get the grapes incredibly ripe there. And this is the secret of it. It's the terroir. They have a season which enables them to get the ripeness level that they need to produce a fortified wine of great richness, lusciousness and sweetness and complexity. So, yeah, they're unique.
So just looking at the winners in the top five, we've got two from Barossa, three from Victoria. And I think it might have been that Victorian wineries have won the first position for quite a few years in a row. Is that right?
I think it's at least the third year in a row, and maybe the fourth year in a row, perhaps. We had Oakridge last year, by far the year before, and Yarra Yering the year before that. So the last 4 years, yes.
There you go.
But that's just number one position, whereas, you know, South Australia, of course, does extremely well, and the Barossa is by far the leading region in our top wineries list. And that's no surprise to anyone either. It's, for a long time, it's been Australia's most famous, most recognised wine region, and it continues to be.
Would you like to see some more coming from, say, New South Wales, Western Australia? And is there a particular reason why they're not submitting? More top wineries?
Oh, no, they're all submitting. It's Margaret River does very well. The Yarra Valley does extraordinarily well, as you'd expect. I mean, the Yarra Valley has got a large number of wineries, and so many of them produce great wine. So, you know, there's a real critical mass in the Yarra Valley. Margaret River, likewise. These are the fast up and coming, rising, whatever. They've already risen in a sense, but they continue to get better and better. Not only great wines across many varieties, they're not just a one trick pony, they do many varieties really well. But the number of wineries and producers continues to grow. So, you know, they're really dynamic areas where there's a lot of excitement. Tasmania is another one. I think it's just getting better and better. The wines are becoming more and more serious, especially the Pinot Noirs. The Rieslings and the Sparklings have been, and the Chardonnays have been really good for a long time, but the Pinots are hitting another level these days, it seems to me.
Do you think that's partly some vine age, Hewan?
Definitely partly vine age, Simon. I'd say it's partly vine age, but also the skill levels and experience levels of the winemakers and the viticulturists is having a big effect. But also, I think global climate change is having an effect. I think that everybody's experiencing, you know, earlier and earlier harvests, which means that it's easier and easier to get your grapes ripe in what might have been termed in the past a marginal climate. And they're not so marginal anymore. So that, to me, explains a lot of why I say southern Tasmania, Huon Valley, Coal River Valley, the Channel Country, those areas are producing some absolute magic wines.
Yeah, so that valley really named after yourself, obviously.
I know.
thanks for that out, Simon.
guys, last year, what I thought was awesome, you gave us some tidbits on the wineries really to keep an eye on, and Eisenstone was definitely one of them, and it's been wonderful to see our Stephen Cook and his wonderful label go from strength to strength. What would you say that some of the great ones, that the lesser known but the ones to watch are this year?
There's too many to mention. Oh, look, I'll mention a few. Alkina is in the Barossa Valley. Yeah. They are. This is a winery and a vineyard which is being managed in a way I don't think any other place is being managed in this country. They have gone forensically into the vineyard and dug lots and lots of holes and decided what bits of rock and rock soil types are in which parts of their vineyard, and they've segmented all of their parcels of grapes accordingly, and they're doing what they call polygons, which are, a polygon is just a wine made from a very small section of a vineyard, a block, if you like. So polygon number 5 Grenache is an extraordinarily good wine, and I've tasted these wines against other wines that are made from other parts of the vineyard, and the difference in quality between, say, a quartzy or a limey soil and a clay soil can be quite enormous. So that's what they're doing. That's very exciting. Another producer, I think, who's new in the list this year and is doing great things is Tom Foolery, which is, again, another Barossa wine, but he makes wine from various parts, not just the Barossa. And, you know, this is really exciting stuff. Who else could I mention? I guess Alex Head is another Barossa. Sorry if I'm mentioning a lot of Barossa, but Alex Head has been around for a while now, but he continues to make superb wine. And like you would hope, they get better and better and better. Where do I go from there? Probably to let me look for another region, like Margaret River, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And one of the great Margaret River wineries is Stella Bella, and I think they they've been in our top sort of 20, I think, for the last two or 3 years. And a lot of people sort of raised their eyebrows and said, "Who are these people?" But I think they're now starting to get better known. But another one in that area, which I think is really up and coming, and probably not well known yet, is Flowstone. And Flowstone is a little winery, little vineyard. Run by Stuart Pym for a long time as a winemaker, but his partner in life, Janice McDonald, has recently joined them. I think it might have been last year or the year before. She left Howard Park, where she'd been chief winemaker for a long time and won lots of accolades, and she's gone across now to Flowstone to join Stuart. And the two of them, I mean, I don't know how they get those two egos into one room, but... Just kidding. They don't have big egos at all, actually, if you know them. But, you know, what two really high-powered winemakers in one little operation seems like a bit of a test. But a test of the relationship. But they are doing terrific stuff too. And I think we'll probably see that get better and better.
Okay.
These are good. Hey, while people are listening to this, obviously we're going through a list of the top wineries of Australia. It's done on points, isn't it? So to explain just briefly how it's put together, because it's not just, oh, yeah, they're a really nice bunch of winemakers and, you know, people and in a great region, so let's give them number one. There's some
serious... No, well, the way the Real Review operates is we taste blind. We can't taste everything blind, but we taste most of what we taste is blind. Obviously, there are occasions when you can't taste blind, but most of it is blind. And so we score wines and we review them on our website, The Real Review, and the aggregate scores that they get for their top scoring wines in any given year, in any given two-year period, will contribute towards their standing on our top wineries list, which we publish every year. It's a different list every year. It's been going for 7 years. This is the seventh one. It's part of the scenery now. I think it's, you know, quite well established.
Very much, yeah.
But the whole point of it is it's done on the numbers. It's not done on, as you say, how much we like the winemaker or how much we don't like the winemaker. You know, it's really as objective as we could possibly make it.
Mm. Yeah, sure. So there is a way that people can actually taste all of these wines that that are so highly awarded and regarded by you. There are tasting events in Melbourne and Sydney and followed a few days later by a dinner, right? Can you talk to those?
Yeah. Well, every year we launch it. We just launched it on Friday. On Saturday it was written up in the Good Weekend magazine, which is published in the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. And then there's a bit of a gap until we do our events, and these will be happening in June and July, late June and early July, in Melbourne, 29th of June, at Ormond Hall, which is just off St Kilda Road. We're having a tasting there with 31 wineries, I think, will be coming. We always make it fairly limited, fairly small. It's quite a boutique event. We don't want to do a massive show, which is, you know, a bit
trade show style.
Yeah. So limited number of wineries, limited number of wines, and limited number of people. And it's always the very, very highest quality. So that's happening on the 29th of June. And attached to that is a masterclass for the consumers, which happens in the same venue before the actual exhibition begins. And we have a dinner a couple of nights later as well. And then the next week we do the same thing in Sydney. So the 6th of July, we'll be showing the wines at an exhibition at the Overlow Hotel in Woolloomooloo. And again, there will be a trade masterclass before it starts. And 2 days later, there'll be a dinner. So, and I'll be hosting the masterclasses and the dinners. And if you want to come along, you just go onto the Real Reviews website and you'll find an events section with all of the information that you need.
Yeah, that's great. So we had a question from Christopher about the Melbourne dinner particularly, and just just asking, is there any heads up as to which producers will be there? Is that tightly kept, or is that already known, or what? You don't have
dinner,
to release it.
I think the dinner wines are still being worked out, but I can tell you who the masterclass wines will be in Melbourne. Tom Foolery, I think I mentioned before, doing a Riesling. Yering Station is doing a Reserve Chardonnay. Oakridge is doing the Willow Lake Pinot Noir. Chapel Hill is doing the Vicar Shiraz. Yarra Yering is doing Dry Red Wine Number 1, 2021 vintage, which is an absolutely stonking wine. And Cape Mentelle is putting on its new Icon Cabernet 2020 vintage. So that's a pretty smart lineup of wines. And you can expect something similar at the dinners. So we really pride ourselves on getting, you know, a really smart lineup of wines.
There actually is. Hughan, I think I actually have seen a list of the wines that are actually going to be at the Melbourne dinner. Do you want me to read them out, or
wait till they're online? Yes, please read
just
it out.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I think it's important because, especially as Christopher's asked specifically, and I think that this is such a selling point because some of these wines are you're not going to be normally tasting them. So there are it's a four-course meal with four brackets of matching wines. So there will be 12 wines in total. So we'll start with the Brown Brothers Patricia Pinot Noir Chardonnay Brut, then the House of Arras Grand Vintage 2015, which is glorious, the Clemens Hill Aurelia Chardonnay 22, the Single File Family Reserve Great Southern Chardonnay 22, the Juniper Cornerstone Willy Brop Chardonnay 22, the Yering Station Reserve Pinot Noir 21, the Handpicked Collection Mornington Peninsula Pinot Noir 22, the Pooley Coinda Vale Pinot Noir 22 from Tasmania, Yarra Yering Number 2, 2021, the Lane Heritage Shiraz Viognier 21, Jasper Hill George's Paddock Shiraz 22, and finishing with the Karawata Ace of Trumps Grand Vin Cab Sauv 2017. Now, that's a lineup.
well done, and thank you for that. But can I add to that some of the actual winemakers who will be coming along to our tasting fair? Because you can see from the people who come along to these things to pour their wines, they're not just giving it to just to a hired hand. They're doing it themselves. So in Sydney, Sarah Crowe will be there, and in Melbourne she won't be able to come, but her assistant winemaker Ben and her vineyard manager Andrew George will be there pouring the Yarra Yering wines. We'll have Stephen Cook from Eisenstone, Luke Jolliffe from Stella Bella, Paul Bridgman from Levantine Hill, Philip Shaw, the famous Philip Shaw from Hooseg, and Philip Shaw, formerly from Philip Shaw Wines, Belinda Thompson, one of your very own down there from Crawford River.
I had her on the show the other day.
Did you? Yeah, she's great.
She's great.
Stephen Dew from Kaisler, Nick Kruger from Pepper Tree, and so on. So, you know, caliber of people is terrific.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'll definitely be getting a ticket to the Sydney one for sure. Now, Hughan, thank you so much for giving a very comprehensive overview of ways that we can taste them, as well as behind the scenes of the recent, the Real Review results. Now, as you know, we are going next to speak to Sarah Crowe, winemaker of Yarra Yering. And do you have any quick note to add on her just before we end?
Well, I've written quite a lot of stories about Sarah and Yarra Yering because they've done so well in recent years. Not sure what to winkle out of that, except that most of the great wineries of Australia have stability of ownership and stability of winemaking talent. And Sarah has been there for at least 10 years now. The ownership of the winery has been stable in that period. And to me, but winemakers that jump around the place all the time never really build up a bank of information, of knowledge about how the seasons work on their vineyards and how that translates to the wine in the bottle. You've got to stay in one place for a period of time to be, to get to know your vineyard well, to get to know your vines well, to know what they're capable of. Sarah has been there for a bit over 10 years, I think, and she and her team have been working really hard on the vineyards to improve the vineyards. She's been planting more vines. So ask her, you could ask her a curly one, why has there never been any Cabernet Franc in the dry red wine number one? It's got the other four Bordeaux varieties in it, but it's never had any Cabernet Franc in it. Mary Quintet's always got Cabernet Franc in it, and so on, you know. But
Hewan wants to see Cab Franc. Okay, well, definitely ask her that. And if you keep listening, you'll hear it from the horse's mouth.
Excellent.
But Hewan, thank you very, very much for your time. Again, we always love you coming on the show. It's always an honour to have you on the show. So good luck with all the events and the masterclasses, and we'll get you back on the show again later in the year.
Thank you, Jill and Simon. Thanks, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Awesome.